The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. Good morning, be seated. Amen. It's the last Sunday in the month of July. And I tell you, God has been good to us. Amen. It's good to see us this morning. And like I said in the first service, and I announced actually on Thursday, I will not be like teaching today. Okay. I'll just explain something to us. Is that a teaching? Okay, I'll just explain something to us. The Lord gave us a word, right, at the beginning of this month, and He told us this was going to be our month of establishments. How many of you remember that? A month of establishments. And then what I usually do is that when such words come, I make out time to explain to us what God means, the details of such words. You know, when God speaks, it's not just in a sentence, it's not just about the word. There are details, right? So most times I try to explain that to us. But you know, the way this month went, you know, there was no time for that. For instance, normally I do that at prayer drive. By the way, prayer drive is coming this Saturday. And the case you know what prayer drive is, our 6 hours prayer experience. Yes, this Saturday. And let me announce to you that you're the only one planning not to come. All of us are going to pray for 6 whole hours. Amen. Are you excited about that? Have you been to prayer drive before? Where did we start from? It was 4 hours, right? Well, here we are 6. So, see, God is helping us. Who knows? So, most of the time, as prayer drive, I just try to explain to us what the Lord is saying. But, prayer drive this last month, we were at Start the Fire, so we didn't have time to, you know, give detailed explanation of what the Lord put in my spirit. And then we've been on God Uncensored series, which didn't let us breathe. Okay, so we had to finish that. So today, I will just show you what the Lord means, or what the Lord is trying to show us by saying He's bringing establishments our way. Why I'm explaining this, and why I always do that, is that, you know, words can come and fly over your head. Yes. God can say a lot of things and then it will flow over it, because to start with, you don't even understand what God is saying. Because first of all, it is when you understand what God is saying that you will now even know what to exactly expect. So yes, it's the end of the month, but we're going to explain this because, you know, the word of God is not bound by months. Are you following me? It's not. If the Lord tells us, I'm bringing you into a month of increase, and that month ends, it doesn't mean increase has ended. God's word is not bound by months. That's why there's nothing wrong with contending with a word God gave us in February. Are you following me, friends? Are you still here? So this morning, we'll try to explain the word, what God means by His bringing establishment our way. And to start with, God wants us to be established. And in Him. And by that, God wants us to be strong in Him. To be strong in Him. You know, like I shared with them in the first service, in Acts chapter 16 and verse 5, when Paul picked Timothy, the Bible tells us that they went to different churches, and those churches were established in the faith. They were established in the faith. If you use simpler translations like New Living Translation, it will tell you that those churches were strengthened. We're not talking about establishment, we're talking about God bringing us to a place where we are established, settled on certain matters, right? In concerning the faith that will help us going, keep us going. In Ephesians verse 10, it tells us to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And so God wants us to be established. And what does that mean? The first thing I'd like to show you is this. Every time God wants to do something, there's a way God works. God goes in first before He goes out. But anything God wants to work out in the life of anybody, He doesn't go straight to the physical. Because what I'm going to show you now, you know, may not be what you're expecting. It doesn't go first to the physical. He starts with the spiritual. So before God, let's, perfect example, if you check the epistles, you find out that the Bible spoke more about spiritual blessings. In fact, if you are not careful, if you read the epistles, you will think or assume that God doesn't want us to have physical things like healing and money and all of that, because it is spoken less. It's not said a lot in the epistles. If you read the epistles, you will see spiritual blessings. And if you study what spiritual blessings are righteousness. I feel what I'm saying. Righteousness, accepted in the beloved, forgiveness in Christ. These are, and this is what the epistles focus on. So you will hardly see Paul in the epistles saying, it happened. I said hardly, it's not fully, it's not everywhere. Saying, I'm praying that you may have money. I feel what I'm saying. So if you read the epistles, you will think, maybe God doesn't want us to have these things. But it's how God works. He first starts with the spiritual. When he sorts that out, it begins to affect your physical life. So let me give an example. Someone is asking God for money. But I'm praying for financial breakthrough. When God comes, God will begin to teach the person faith. How to walk by faith. And the person is wondering, give me money, I'm talking faith. He knows that if he establishes you on that particular faith talk, what it will produce, money will be part of it. I feel what I'm saying. Someone is asking God for a baby. Lord, I need a baby, I need a baby. And then the Lord begins to teach you, maybe just finally begin to teach you how to stand on the word of God. Not even concerning a baby, just teaching you randomly. And then you're wondering, is baby I want? You're talking about standing on the word of God. Don't you know that by the time you master that thing he's teaching you, it will translate to something in the physical. And so how God works is, he doesn't go to begin to touch you. If you just get your need solved, you might go meet another problem tomorrow and you get stuck. So he first begins to work on something on the inside. So I gave an example in the first service. Somebody is saying, Lord, my marriage, I want my marriage to work. I want my marriage to work. And he's thinking that God will begin to maybe do a miracle to touch his wife or the husband. What God will first do is that God begins to teach him how to walk in love, how to forgive. So he comes to church. Maybe, I'm just trying to show you something. Maybe you're expecting today in service, my expectation today in service is that God will fix my marriage. And you're expecting that God, the pastor will make the declaration and say, the name of Jesus, marriages are fixed. And the pastor says nothing about that. But God is just talking about walking in love. What God is trying to do is to fix your marriage. But God deals with what is happening in the spirit first. I get the point. So he doesn't just go to the issues. He changes you before he changes your situation. Are you following me? He changes you. He comes to change you before he now goes to your situation. But many of us just want our situation fixed. But God wants to fix you. And when he fixes you, examples I can give again. Someone is praying, Lord, I want my business to prosper. I'm expecting financial breakthrough in my business. In the name of Jesus, more customers are coming. Then you come to church and they put you in a department. And then your team lead begins to demand some things. You must be in church by 6:30. You must be in church by 6:15. And you're wondering, somebody's thinking business success. You have given me stress in church. Now, eventually, you begin to align. In aligning, you've learned discipline. You've learned diligence. You've learned hard work. Right? You carry those same virtues to your business. Your business begins to prosper. In your team lead insisting that you come by 6:15, God was answering your prayers for financial prosperity. I feel what I'm saying. So you must realize what God, how God works. He first handles you. Deals with your spiritual health before he begins to. Now that is your spiritual health is dealing with, we now translate to fixing problems. You will not see too much places in the Bible where the epistles particularly talked about God prospering your business or God giving you a healing. But the Bible epistles talk about faith. The epistles talk about the name of Jesus. The epistles talk about the working of miracles. Are you fully I'm talking about? The epistles talk about healing. So when people say, God doesn't want us to prosper, He doesn't want to just do your business. Don't use the name. Don't use. God doesn't want. It's not just your business. So why is there a gift called the gift of working of miracles? Why are we told that the name of Jesus can move every mountain? Are you getting the point? And so that's why I want to say to you, what actually happens in church affects you in more ways than you know. Because in church, there is the training of the spirit going on. You are wondering why God is not going direct to talk to your, to fix your problem. But in that training of the spirit going on, God is addressing issues in your life. So why am I saying this? God is talking about establishment today. Where that's the first area that God wants you to really be established on are areas of your spiritual life. For instance, God wants you to be established in the truth. Let's start with that. The truth. The right message. The right message. Right? If you read 2 Peter 1 and verse 12, the Apostle Peter said, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." So God wants us to be established in the truth that we know. So what that means is that God does not want you to be someone that is blown about by every trending message. A believer who is established in the truth is that person that knows the truth, knows what he believes, and is established on it and cannot be shifted and moved around. You know, there are believers that believe everything. They don't have anything they stand for. Once you preach a good message that you can convince them, they agree. So they have about 10 men of God they listen to. They have about 3 contrasting things that they believe. Now, that is not an established believer. An established believer is established in the truth. The truth that he knows. So much so that you can't move, you can't push him away from it. Are you following me? I gave an example in the first service. I believe, for instance, that I'm righteous by faith. Even if I have 30 men drumming it into my ear every day that I'm not righteous by faith, I already know it. I'm established in it. And so there are people who believe everything and believe nothing. So once you have a good message or you can convince them, they say, "Well, he has a point though. He has a point though. He also has a point." So everybody has a point. And people have all these things. In every nonsense, there is sense. Listen, in every nonsense, there is nonsense. In every nonsense, there is nonsense. There is no sense in any nonsense. At least not with doctrinal, not with Bible teaching. No Bible teaching. You've got to know what is true about the Word of God, right? And then be established on it. And not be moved. That's one of the things I'm going to encourage you to do today. Is to find the truth. Study the truth. Read the truth. Stay on it to a point that your feet is planted on it, that nothing can move you. Because that's one of the ways to begin to enjoy establishment in the truth. Where you are planted on this one truth. For instance, I tell you, I believe that believers are eternally saved. Now, I believe it with all my heart. I believe, for instance, that I can never go to hell. I'm not wishing myself well when I say I can never go to hell. I believe it. Such that if I see a dream, I said in the first service jokingly, if 14 of you die, and all 14 of you see the same dream, and in your dream I was in hell, I know you are wrong. Did you hear what I said? I said, 14 of you die, and you wake up and say, "Pastor, we saw you in hell, oh. I will just sit down and start teaching you guys." I'm so sure you're wrong. Sir, are you not being arrogant? No. We have read the Bible. That's why I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to be a very serious Christian. Read your Bible. Listen to good teachings. Find the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Stick with it. Learn it to a point that it enters you. And I told them in first service, initially I used to have dreams where rapture took place and I missed it. Has it ever happened to you? Have you ever missed rapture in your dream? Have you ever seen Antichrist in your dream? And especially when, you know, there was a time when people were dying and waking up. with visions. Did you remember that time? Huh? And they say you should not do this, you shouldn't do that, and all of that. You know the truth is, the first time I came across those materials, the first one I read was one book called 4 Hours Interview in Hell. Do you know the book? You don't know it. You guys are blessed. So I read it early. I was so, as in, Jesus Christ, I didn't know what was happening to me. I knew I was going to go to hell from that day. I was so scared. Now, I began to learn the word of God. Much later. I began to learn the word of God. I took time, I studied salvation. I studied eternal salvation. I studied how people make heaven. And I had teachers. Teachers like, through their books, teachers like E.W. Kenyon. Well, when I was done, a few years after, those news came up again. That some people died and went to hell, and they were now talking, if you are wearing earrings, remove it. I did not shake. Like, I was, in fact, that particular season revealed, like I said in the first service, the shallowness of the Nigerian church. Because some people began to throw away their wigs. Do you remember what I'm saying? Some threw away their wigs, some threw away their earrings, some threw away their, some stopped using whatever. The problem is after 3 months, they brought it back. Because we are not established on anything in Nigeria, we are just there for what is trending. That's not a proper Christian. It's even if you are wrong, be established in your falsehood. I got what I'm saying? Let there be something. And how to get there is not by being stubborn. It's by getting to the word of God. You read it once. You listen to it again. There are books that I've read for over 10 times. Books. Same material. There are messages I've listened for over 156 times. That's an exaggeration, actually. I'm just saying, I've heard them again and again and again. That, you know, because it's actually by the principle of repetition that you get established on any fact. I said it again. By the principle of repetition that you get established. So, if you keep hearing a certain thing, or reading a certain thing, or listening to something again and again, you will come to believe it. Just like I give you an example in the first service. I didn't use that in the first service. I give this example all the time. What is your name? Your name is whatever it is. Now, when you were born, you had no name. How did you get that name? Your parents decided and gave you a name. How did you believe that it's your name? They kept calling that name. You, we are hearing that name repetitively. So much so that at this point, we cannot convince you that that's not your name. You know, it's possible your parents gave you a name, a certain name, and after 1 month, they changed their mind. You know, it's possible. They changed their mind. Maybe they gave you a name after 1 month. Maybe they gave you the name Linda. That's not a bad name, I'm just saying. But they say Linda is serpent. So maybe after 1 month, somebody told them, "Hey, boy, you know your child, Linda. Linda is serpent." So they say, she's not Lilian. And they start calling you Lilian. You will grow up knowing your name is Lilian. How? By the principle of repetition. Once they keep calling that name, it will stick. Now, that's how to be established on the truth. That's why you do not hear God's word once and think you are fine. I can preach you up here and you are shouting, but listen to me, you don't know that thing. Even if you know it, you're not established on it. Any other contrary thing will sweep you. That's why I'll talk about it. That's why when people come to church once in a while, or people read Christian books once in a while, or they listen to teachings once in a while, they can never be established. That's why there are believers, have you not observed? People who you think will never do something, but are doing it. You have seen people do a total U-turn against something they were standing against like 5 years ago. And you're wondering, what happened to this guy? He heard something, he knew something, but there was no proper establishment. You know why? There was no repetitive following, repetitive hearing. It's what I'm talking about. So that's where you start from. So God wants us to be established in truth. Ephesians 4 verse 14. He said that you henceforth be not children. What does it mean to be a child? That we henceforth be no more children. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine. Are you following me? Yeah, in this church now, I'm saying, you know, God prospers you.
God is not after your life to kill you because you did not give. But we want you to give. And you are saying, yeah, I love that man of God. He can preach. Then you go to another church where the man of God carry fire. And say, if you don't give, you will not live. If you don't tithe, your life will be tied. Without your offering, you will encounter suffering. Your offering is the gateway from suffering. Now, you say, wow, that makes sense too. So which one makes sense exactly? Glory to God. Now, I'm not saying anyone. You say, no, I believe the other one. Believe it. Stick with that. Am I against giving? I preach giving. I'm going to talk about giving today. Do I believe that when you give that you're going to get blessed? Yes, I believe that. But do I believe that God is after you with a gun waiting for you not to give so they can shoot you? No. Are you following me? That is my position in God's word. And I have many men of God who hear me call their names. And I respect them. But they have the other standpoint. But it's not changing anything about me. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not changing what I believe. And I'm not going to dishonor them. But I'm established in this truth. I'm established in this truth. Because I didn't hear it and then believed it. I stayed on it. John said in 1 John 1 verse 1, he said, that which we have heard. And he was talking about his relationship with Jesus. Physical relationship with Jesus. Because he was trying to tell them that they met Jesus face to face. He said, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. He said, and all of that. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. So you must come to a point. You know what John was talking about here? Actually, you cannot talk like that. Like, because John was talking about the fact that they saw Jesus face to face. They sat with him. They ate with him. Do you understand? So John was saying, if you think you can talk me out of this, may I know what I'm saying? Why do you think the whole apostles took martyrdom when they wanted to kill them? None of them ran away. They were so sure Jesus rose from the dead. They were so sure. Because they saw him die. They saw him buried. He rose. If he had risen and appeared one day, they would have said maybe it's a vision. He stayed with them 40 days. So by them having a 40 days vision, are you know what I'm saying? So when they were saying it, if you say the apostles, you know, at the time they threatened them, he said, we cannot but preach what we have seen. We know this thing. You must come to that point. I follow what I'm saying. Now, we say, sir, but we didn't see Jesus. They saw Jesus. Do you know there was a man that didn't see Jesus but had this kind of conviction? His name was Paul. I believe it is the wisdom of God that Paul wrote more books than any other apostle. To tell you that you don't have to see Jesus face to face to have your faith in him. Are you following me, friends? You have to know what you believe. Where do you stand? You know, there are a lot of Christians who do things, but they have no biblical backing for what they do. I gave an example in the first service. I met a sister who was, I've said this, shared this many times. She wears trousers. A believer. She doesn't know me and doesn't know what I stand for. But she wears trousers. So I asked her, why do you wear trousers? Why do you put on trousers as a Christian? She looked at me. She said, it's like you're one of those judgmental pastors. I said, yes. Why do you wear trousers? She said, all these pastors. So are you trying to tell me that all the people that wear trousers will go to hell? I said, yes. That's what I'm saying. So you mean all these pastors, all these big pastors, that people wear trousers, all those people will go to hell? I said, that's not the point. The point is, why do you wear it? What is your conviction? I get it. What have you discovered from the word of God? Why this is not wrong? And that's why many people do things that there is no stand. So anybody can push you. Are you following me? Why do you do what you do? You have to be established in the truth. Such that even if you are asleep, even if there are 101, you know there are things that can happen. There are things that happen, they can show you proofs. But you still know what you know. Do you understand? No matter the 7 days teaching they run, to convince you that you are not a man. No matter how they try to explain to you. For instance, let's define man. Who is a man? When they are done, you just are like, I'm a man. It's there. It's what you know. It's what you know. There are people that are transgender still say they are transgender. You don't get it. They still admit that they are something, they shifted. Because they know they are not that thing they're claiming to be. So they are still transgender, meaning that thing is not still their gender. Do you understand? You know what you know. We know what we know. And let this knowledge come from, it comes from repetitive following, repetitive hearing, repetitive study. That's why you learn it. For instance, when I heard the truth about righteousness by faith, I told you guys, I read, not once, not twice, every material that E.W. Kenyon wrote. Because I didn't want, I didn't do it for ministry. I want to know this for myself. I want to know where I stand. I want to know what I believe. You get the point? So you must come to that point. And you learn the word of God and be established in the truth. So that you can't be pushed away from it. So that's the first thing God wants to do for you. He wants to establish you. He wants you to be established on this truth that you know. This truth that you know. That's why there are many weak Christians. Because they don't believe anything. They believe everything. Once it's a popular man of God saying it, it's correct. I get to the point. And let me even tell you, if you are still at a point in life where you believe things just because a popular man of God said it, you're a weak person. You know, every minister must have spine. You know, I've said that many times. One of the signs that you have spine is that you can dare to stand on what God said is correct, not minding who is against it. That's why people can come here and say, these things you guys are teaching, I have not heard to other places. It's okay. Do you understand? It's fine. Once I can confirm that there are some men that God has put over my life and they agree with these things and all of that, if the whole world is against it, it's fine. With God, God doesn't do majority. Are you following me? Doesn't do majority. So first, you must come to a point where you establish the truth. Second, you must be established. God wants us to be established, right, and planted in His house. So that's the second kind of establishment God wants to give you, to be established and planted in His house. In Psalm 92 and verse 12, it tells us that the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Do you know why the righteous is supposed to, what he means by shall flourish like a palm tree? You know, palm trees, they're always green. Their leaves are always green. He said that's how the righteous is meant to be. But how will that be achieved? Next verse. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So that flourishing will come from you being planted, being established. So simply put, God does not want you to move from place to place. He wants you to be planted. Because flourishing comes from being planted. Look at the illustration he's using. He's using the illustration of a tree. Imagine there is this palm tree. That this week, it is here. Next week, they uproot it. They keep it here. Next 2 weeks, they uproot it. That palm tree will never die. It will die off. That's how many people are with their churches. They just roam from place to place. From church to church. Now, it's a different thing that at a time in your life, you've not found the church you want to worship with. There is that season. And God has nothing with that season. Are you following what I'm saying? I was there at a time. If I even became a pastor. Where I knew that I shouldn't be worshiping here. But I didn't know where I was going to worship. But it must come to a point where you check the doctrine of a church, check all of that, and now be planted somewhere. That's how you will flourish. That's real establishment. Are you following me? I don't even know where our generation got this crazy thing of roaming from church to church. Because I can tell you, sincerely, From the family where I grew up, we don't roam in our family. We have a church. If you are not there, like I said in the first service, you will die. If you are not there on Sunday, you will die. You can't even not be there. Like, I've never woken up in my house and they said, are we going to church today? It's not the question. I don't know the kind of family you grew up, but like, is that the question? Are you can be in Aga church? Who asked you that question? So everybody are preparing. There is no argument. There is no debate. I don't know why it's like that. And you know, I found that in many homes, that's the same thing. Your parents might not be as knowledgeable as whatever, but you see that one, you must do it. But now you grew up, you felt, well, I don't like my parents' church. It's okay. You can make your choice. Oh yeah, now make the choice. You are moving around like devil. Seeking for whom to devil. You are just moving from place to place. What do you mean? How do you expect that you will flourish? How do you expect that you will grow? How do you expect that you will grow? Are you following me, friends? Now, when people come to church here to join us, and we just allow them, you come once, you come twice, you come thrice, and you want to be part of us here, we are going to demand that you stay planted. Because that is how whatever flourishing that will happen in your life will happen. It is those that are planted that will flourish. Everything you need in your life, God will put in your spiritual family. You know, I was saying it in the first service. That's why I'm not one of those believers, even when I was a believer, when I wasn't a pastor rather, I'm not one of those believers that go from place to place looking for who to pray for me. Actually, from the time I became a solid, solid, solid Christian, I can count how many hands have touched my head. I'm not the kind of person that just roams from place to place, church to church. Sir, in part. As a matter of fact, I rarely attend programs. I'm not saying it's bad. Rarely. But programs I can go. If I see a good program, I see a good minister coming, I think I'll be blessed, I'll be there. But to now become a wanderer. When I was in school, at school at Amani, by my third year, I had changed church. Because my first year, second year, I know that I belong to a fellowship, a good fellowship, but that fellowship we met on Sunday morning. Do you understand? I don't encourage that, but that was the system then. It's no longer like that now. We met on Sunday morning. So we didn't have a church first year, second year. But my third year, fourth year, I became a JCB president and all of that. So I had a little more liberty. So I changed church. I was in Abuja and I was worshiping here in Enugu. And I would go that distance every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Sunday, every Wednesday. Now, are there no churches around you? Well, this is the one that I think resonates with my spirit. I feel I'm talking about. And I wanted to be there. Woman of God said you should not be a spiritual prostitute. Who is just looking for what is not lost. And I want to repeat this like I said in the first service. You see what is going on online. Some of you know, some of you don't know. If you don't know, you don't know. It's fine. But what is going on online with a certain music minister? It is all of that, all of those things. Why you will never hear me comment on such things on social media? Except any day the Lord tells me, and I don't even know how the Lord will tell me that. Do you understand? Why you never hear me is because that position, my position on those matters have always been the same. That if there is anybody claiming to be a minister, music, apostle, prophet, whatever, who doesn't have a church family, he or she should not be taken seriously. Are you following me? Anybody who doesn't have a certain family that we can say, that's his church, that's his pastor. He didn't join that church when he became famous. That has been his church. Are you following what I'm saying? So that we know where you are being fed. We know where you are growing. Then we can't take you serious. I will not take you serious. Never. So, why do you have some of those kind of corruption in the body of Christ among ministers? Because there are ministers who don't belong to nowhere. And we are asking, where are they coming from? Who gave birth to them? Who birthed them? And you're a believer. You're not a minister like that. But you are just like that. One, you are not in any church. Two, the one you even say you belong to, you don't even come. You are not planted. No, some of our people go for evangelism sometimes. And you meet someone, you say, I want to invite you. The person say, I'm in your church. He said, what church? I'm in Platform of Grace. And he's like, are you serious?
And for it, the person has come. The person has made up his mind in his heart that this is his church. But the person has not showed up again. And somehow he just thinks he's going to be blessed. Things don't work like that. You don't become a member at heart without showing up. Are you following me, friends?
That's why you must be planted. Psalm 1 verse 1. Blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Come on, yes. Who does not, who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in season. It is by being planted that you can bring forth fruit. That's why I can tell you, if you walk into this church casually, you can get a miracle. You walk into this church casually, you can get a breakthrough. But the real supply that a church gives, which is spiritual strength, spiritual growth, you can never get it by walking into this place casually. You can't. It's by being planted. That's there are many people that can come in here and get a miracle. You know, you can have a difficult situation at job and just show up. I'm telling you, God is going to meet your needs. Someone chatted me up recently. I was like, sir, you will say that the little time I used to chat you up is when there is problem. I said, I know, it's true. So what's the problem this time? And God does that one. We can go for crusades. People we don't know, we can pray for them and they get their miracle and all of that. But you see, if you want the real blessing of a church family, stay planted. First of all, that covering, that spiritual growth, that support, even back down to simple things, those things will come by you being planted. Because that's the plan of God for your life. Because let me show you this before I move on from this matter. When the Bible talks about being established, what is the easiest way for people to get really established? I can tell you, the easiest way for people to get established is that God will send men to help establish them. Now you look at that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Put it up on the screen. You will see this now. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, because Paul was talking about how he missed these guys, how he wanted to come and talk to them. He said, we could no longer forbear. We thought, give me like NLT so that you can get the flow. Finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens. Verse 2. And we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you. That's what establishment. Give me King James. We sent him to establish you. To establish you. So it was the presence of Timothy that was going to establish and strengthen these guys. Because Paul was their lead pastor in our own context now. But he wanted to come. He couldn't come. So he sent a pastor to strengthen them. So what God uses to strengthen and establish us in his will, in his work, is the instrument of the ministry of men. So imagine where you're not committed to a church. How will you get a real establishment? You find this again in Romans 1 verse 11. Where Paul told them, I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established. So it is actually men that establish men. Are you following me, friends? See, imagine you're not part of any local church. How will the establishment come? We read in Ephesians 4 verse 14, where Paul told them that there be no more children, being tossed to and fro. But how will they get to that point? Already in verse 11, he told them how, that God gave some apostles, God gave some prophets and evangelists and teachers, verse 12, for the perfection of the body of Christ. So it is the work of these evangelists, apostles and leaders in the house of God that we produce, verse 14, where you will no longer be tossed to and fro. Are you following what I'm talking about? So until you find yourself planted in the house of the Lord, you will not be a properly established Christian. So there are a lot of famous people who are not proper Christians. Because these things are not magical. And sometimes it's not hard to know. If you get close to them, you will see it. You know there is something called the training of the Spirit. Right? If you don't have it, you don't have it. You can't fake it. You can't pretend. You can't act like it. It's not about putting camera on your face and speaking in tongues. Shambra, shambra. You don't have it. You don't have it. And if you don't have it, it's a matter of time. It will show that you don't have it. I get what I'm saying? I will say that again. There is such a thing as a chain of the spirit. If you lack it, you lack it. If with the title, you still don't have it. Amen. So God wants you to be established, planted in his house, steady in his house. Not someone that anything can lift. There are people that change church like they change clothes. If somebody annoys them, they've left the church. You see, I came 3 Sundays. I didn't come 1 Sunday. You people did not call me. You people don't notice me. I'm not coming again. What do you think church is? Customer service? No. We'll call you. You didn't call me. You didn't call me. You don't know that if you've come once, and you've come a second time, and you've come a third time, we actually expect you to be calling others. And not for you to be called again. That's what we're expecting. So is that not too quick? Not too quick. Did you not read John chapter 4? Why are you on Thursday? In John chapter 4, Jesus preached to that woman. She dropped her water pot, ran into the village, and gathered everybody. From the first day she met Jesus. You've been around for 3, 4, 5 Sundays. You are still angry. That they didn't call me. They didn't call me to tell me to come. It's time to grow up, man. Are you following me? Grow up. Jesus preached to that woman once. She said, excuse me, sir. Let me gather everybody. She packed the whole community and they came to Jesus. Do you, they've preached to you, they've ministered to you, they've laid hands on you. Yes, you don't. You say, they didn't call me. I was having headache. Nobody called me. Nobody called me. How are we supposed to know that you have headache? What kind of witchcraft powers? You see, can't people hear from God? Yes, we can. But we rather not hear from God over your case. What I mean by that is, there are certain things that will go on. For instance, you can hear from God. But what do you prefer? That your child is having headache and it is God that tells you that he's having headache, or that your child tells you by himself that you have headache? It's not as though you cannot hear from God, but then, this is your child now. Tell me. So we expect that, oh, tomorrow you're not feeling fine. Let us know so that we can help you. Say amen. And how are you even sure God did not tell us you're having headache? He told us, but he told us not to call you. He told us to just pray for you. Secretly. We should not bother calling you that you'll be fine. And you see, you are fine now. What makes you think it's not our prayer that made you fine? I am now angry. Praise God. So stay planted. You know, one thing I've told myself all the time, and I say this to some of us that are coming here, that are new here, and all of that. One of the things I say to myself when I started off as a Christian, I believe in, and I say it boldly, I've never been followed up. If I want to do something, I'll do it. If I want to join a church, I will join. If I join, I'm going to be there. If I don't want to join the church, I will not join it. So I just don't advise people, don't follow me up. If I'm going to come, I will come. The first day I joined my fellowship in school, the very first day, I asked them, do you have foundation school? I asked them. They didn't tell me. They didn't announce it. Foundation school. Can I join a department? The day one. And I said it till I left school. The first day I joined church, same thing. So, I believe a believer should come to a point where he prays, decides I'm going to be here, and gets there and stays planted. That's maturity. Amen. That's the plan of God. There are some people here in this church, I love how they join the church. Have you observed there are people that join church in 1 month, it's like they've been around for like 6 years. Because they did not sneak in. They came. They landed. And you see them on Sunday, Thursday, every day. You wonder, what's wrong? That is how to be a proper Christian. You make up your mind. And you come and you stay planted. Stay planted. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Then, the next thing the Lord will have us do, moving on from this issues of our spiritual journey now, God wants you to be established in your faith in Him, in your trust in Him. Trust in His power, trust in His might. There should be that sense of establishment in a way you believe resolutely, right, in the power of God, and that whatever He says He will do, He will do. What I'm saying is, every believer should have certain things settled in his heart. Now, moving on to physical things now, gradually, okay? We came from your spiritual walk and all that. Every believer should come to a point where he's established in the fact of God's power, the knowledge of God's power, knowledge of God's might, where he knows that no matter what is going wrong, I will not be shaken. God will come true. It's a state of heart I wanted to have. And how to get there is very easy. You have to keep studying and paying attention to God, His word, His power, so that you get to that point where no matter what is going wrong, like I told them in the first service, I believe that God is a healer. Even if I put my hands on 1,000 sick persons and they don't get healed, I still believe that God is a healer. I don't need any experience for me to know that God is a healer. You know why? I've seen it in the word and I'm established on that fact. I believe that God provides. How did I get there? I took 1 year of my life to study on God's provision. I studied it from Old Testament and New Testament. I was studying every place God ever worked a miracle of provision in the Bible. I read it. I read books. That year, I read more of Kenneth Copeland's book than every other book. Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, and all of that. I was there. I read all those materials. Some of those books I gave you last 2 years, Prosperity Summit, remember? The Blessing of the Lord, Make Her Rich, and Ask No Sorrow. All those books. I read them. After that year, money has not increased in my pocket. But I was so sure that God is a provider and you provide for me. So no matter the kind of lack that comes down, my heart is established on certain facts. I get to the point. For instance, healing. I believe that God is a healer. I've said before. No matter, even if I am sick, which cannot happen, on my sick bed, and 30,000 Christians have prayed, and I'm not healed, I still believe God is a healer because it's not about my experience. I get to the point. It's not my experience. It's about what I'm saying is you should get the establishment on certain things from God's word. Stay on it. Listen to it. For instance, you are struggling with sickness. Some of you are praying for God to heal you. What God wants to do is to first establish you on the facts and the truth of His power, His healing, His might. So some of you might need to go and get all our teachings on Rapha. Healing in the name of Jesus. You stay there, you eat it to a point where you are settled on this fact that, God is a healer. I got to that point in my life. You must get there. So I am settled in, established on these facts of faith. And I'm still doing that. I'm still studying on it. I'm still reading it. Such that I'm so sure that if there is a problem, God is going to fix it. I'm so sure. I mean, before you start praying, I need you to get to that point where you are so established. It's because there is no such resolute belief, resolute trust in the Lord. That's why he says, we prayed and prayed in my family for 2 days and nothing changed. And I'm not serving this God again. There is something your heart will find. And you established on it. You actually don't need any result on the outside to show you anything. You really believe what you believe. The result will come behind. Are you following me? That's why I thank God for encounters. Encounters. But listen to me. If you are like me, because I stayed very long as a Christian before I had any encounter, any vision. How many of you have had encounters here? Beautiful things. Some people say they can be praying and they get lost, fire be burning their head. It didn't happen to me. For a very long time as a Christian. It didn't happen to me. Fire did not burn my head. In fact, this thing people call falling under anointing, I didn't fall under anointing for a very long time as a Christian. They will pray, I'll stand. And it's not like I'm resisting God. I'm even lifting up my hands, saying, Hosanna. And I will not stay fall. Thank God for those things. But beyond encounters, God doesn't want you to believe what you believe because of an encounter you had. Let the word be the basis. I get to the point. Let the word be the basis. So that with or without an encounter, you believe what you believe. Have that resolute faith and trust in the power of God. In the power of His might. Sarah and Abraham had such faith. It took years. But the Bible said, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He refused to stagger. It was years, but he refused to shift ground. Are you getting the point? I was thinking, the Lord told Abraham he was going to give him a child at 75. And didn't give him that child until he was 100. So I was thinking when God approached Abraham again at 99 with a promise, he said, he has come again. You with this your talk, you know they tire. Now, he had not seen a child, but he was sure that God's power can do it. It was okay for him. Abraham didn't stop working with the Lord because it was taking time. As I'm going to say to you, come to a point where you believe the power of God. And say, how do we get there? Read your Bible. Study about God's miracle. Let me tell you one thing you can do. You want to begin to see miracles in your life and enjoy faith? Take your Bible. Go from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And this is a simple study you can do. Look for everywhere where there was a supernatural happening in the Bible. When you read it through, go around, go back and read it again. Go back. Listen, the Bible is a supernatural book. And it's about people that are supernatural. You will see it to a point such that when there is a problem, you know that somehow God will make a way. So I'm established on that fact that no matter what is going on, the power of God will come true. That God is a mighty God and is going to show forth his might. And then finally, I'm going to say, be established. God wants you to be established in his peace or on his peace, the knowledge of his peace. The peace that comes from him. And why am I saying this? We live in a troubled world. God wants you to come to a point where you realize where no matter what is happening, you can enjoy his peace no matter what is happening. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 12, with the NIV, he said the Lord will establish peace. Show me that verse. Isaiah 26 said, say, Lord, you establish peace for us all. That's what he wants to do. He wants to come to a point where he brings you to a point where you enjoy his peace no matter what is going on. Colossians 3 verse 15 tells us that the God of peace, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Colossians 3 15. He said, the Lord let the peace of God rule in your heart. What it means is come to a point where no matter what is happening on the outside, you are established on the peace of God, that it is ruling in your heart. Listen, let me tell you something. Why I'm saying this. Jesus told us before he left the earth that we are going to have tribulations. Are you aware? He told us, he said, in this world you will have many tribulations. So, we are not living in a world that will be void of problems. There will be issues. But God wants that in all the mess, you still find your feet on his peace. So, do you know that it is possible for heavens to be falling and you are seated peacefully? That's the point he wants to bring you to. Are you following me? For things to be scattering and you are seated peacefully. Peacefully. And they wonder, what is it that you are not seeing what is happening? I used to tell you guys, when you come around some of us, sincerely, if you come around our home, if you stay with us for 1 month, the first thing you are going to conclude is that these people have no problem at all. And that's not because of pretense. That's because you can actually enjoy the peace of God in whatever storm. That no matter what is happening, you can be established. You can let his peace rule in your heart. Are you following me? Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Give me like NLT. Let it rule in your heart. It's let the peace that comes from Christ rule. So you know, let it take rulership of your heart. Let it be the one controlling your heart. Such that on the outside, there is no money. This is happening. Insecurity. This one, that one. Yet somebody is just peaceful. And people are wondering, why? Why is he like that? Why is he so calm? Is it that he's not seeing what is happening? He's established on the peace of God. Are you getting the point? So you see, talking about establishment, God doesn't want us to be shaky people. That's what I'm trying to say. When there is a problem, just like when I started with doctrine, God doesn't want us to come to a point when you hear any false doctrine, you jump. The next one, you jump. The same thing. He doesn't want you that when there is a problem, you are shaking. Every time you see believers waving like leaves, you have to be established on his peace. Where heavens can be falling and you are sitting peacefully. Oh, do we have difficult experience? Yes. But I told them in the first service, you can never, they never born you. You can never come to this church and see me preach and look at my face and say, oh, when I saw you, I found out that you are going through a lot. It can never happen.
The only thing you can do, you can look at my face and say, ah, pastor, you've not been sleeping. That one is normal. Who sleeps? That's what it is. But can I say, I just show you, and because you know why? No matter what is happening on the outside, there is peace ruling on the inside. And look at the key word here is let. In other words, you're the one that will let it happen. Allow the peace of God to rule your heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That even though your account is shining red, but the peace of God is ruling in your heart. You will act differently from the rest. John 14:27, when Jesus was about leaving the earth, he had some lectures with them. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And I said, let not your heart be troubled. So when people are troubled over every small thing, they are not yet established on the peace of God. When you find that peace and you build, you are established on it, things can be going wrong and you're sitting smiling. I told you guys about a woman, you know, what she said was not correct, but I love that kind of peace. There was an earthquake in her city, and people were running helter skelter. She's a very old woman in her 70s. Not in this country, of course. There is no earthquake in this country. We're running helter skelter. And she was just sitting calmly. So after the whole thing, they met. I was like, ah, ma, why were you sitting very calmly? And what she told them was not correct, but she said that God is her father, and her father holds the world in his hands. So that he believed that God was just shaking his hand. And the world was shaking. So that she knows that nothing will happen. Such peace. Are you following me, friends? Such peace is possible. And I can tell you how to get there, how to enjoy that kind of peace. Very simply. First, I need you to know and understand the goodness of God. Let's start with that. Know God's character and know that He is good. The first thing this thing does is that when you know that God is good, at least you know that He's not the one causing the problem. You know, it's relieving to know that it's not God causing my problem. James 1:13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempts he anyone. So God doesn't tempt anybody with evil. Verse 17, every good and perfect gift cometh from God, from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights. So God gives good things. So when I'm passing through tough times, the first place peace comes from is that I know that it's not God causing this thing. God is not bringing it to teach me a lesson. So my prayer, you not hear me in my prayer saying, God, please now, pity me now. No, I know it's not God causing it. That alone brings a sense of peace. At least it helps you see that God is on your side. Do you get the point? So, I check my account. It's shining red. First thing I know is that it is not God making this account shine red. The second thing I know that brings that peace is that I know that He will always be with me. You know, it's a promise. He will always be with me. Always. No matter what is going on. That is where the peace comes from. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. That no matter what is happening, He's there. Heavens can be falling, but He's there. That's why He told the apostles. He said, be of good cheer. He first told them, in this world, you will have many tribulations. Fact. He didn't say, in this world, I will give you tribulations. He didn't say, in this world, I will cause tribulations. Are you following me? But He said, in this world, it will be there. That's the truth. Amen. He said, this is what you have meant to be. He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So there is that knowing that God is there. And when I mean God is with you, it's not just one figurative thing. God is really there with you. The psalmist said, okay, before I get to the psalmist, he said, this is I've spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, how can we be talking about peace? And the next thing you tell us is that there will be tribulation. How can we have peace where you're already informing us that we'll have plenty of tribulation? He said, be of good cheer. You know what be of good cheer means? Be happy. I've overcome the world. Give him Amplified Classic. He blessed us tremendously in first service.
He said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect, somebody say perfect peace. Perfect peace. And confidence. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. So you tell us we're going to have peace. We should enjoy peace. We should be peaceful. You know, tell us that there will be tribulation, trials, distress. He said, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted. Why? For I have overcome the world. What does it mean to overcome the world? I have deprived it of power to harm you. Is someone following me this morning? That's why we can have that peace. Because he's there. He's there. He's there. He's there. So you notice when we are going through tough time, the psalmist said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Because he will be there. Don't fear. Actually, if I spiritually remove my shirt, what I mean is, if I show you the scars behind the anointed, you'll be so shocked. But what keeps us peaceful in all those things is what I'm telling you. God is there. God is there. So no matter what is happening, cry small. Is that okay? What did I say? Cry small. But let not your heart be troubled. Because I know that God is there. Once I know, you know, look at, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the... Are you aware you are in the secret place of the Most High? So you are where he is. So there are certain things that happen to you. If you know certain things, you just calm down. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. In Christ alone, my hope. That peace that comes from knowing that he's there. He's there. Oh. People, that's some stupid question people ask. Where is God when it gets dark? Where was he before? He's inside of you. He said, I will never leave you. That's a stupid question. What do you mean, where was God? Where is God when it gets dark? You think God lives with darkness? He said he will stay inside of you. You are not God's hotel room. You are his permanent residence. He doesn't travel in and out of you. He lives in you. So the next time you're in problem, just know that he's there. I'm telling you, I can feel this thing palpably. When did I start practicing this? He's there with me. See, when I was in school, when I was in first year, second year, when I used to be very hungry. You know, every student, okay, most students, some of you went to school in institutions, most students have the experience with hunger. And I'll be in my room hungry, no hope, nothing. And that first year, so I stayed alone. I just locked my door and said, Holy Spirit, I know you are here. And I just began to talk to him. Like a man will talk to his friend. I read it from Moses. Say, Lord, you don't see as you don't read. I'm very hungry. He's there. The only reason you ask where is God when it gets dark is because you've not tried talking to him. If you try talking to him, you know that he's there. Are you getting blessed this morning? Isaiah 41 verse 10. Let me just round this up already. Isaiah 41 verse 10. He's always there. He said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That knowledge will keep you peaceful. No matter what is happening, that God is always there. So you see, in Acts chapter 27, Paul got on this ship and things were going wrong. It was about, there was storm in that ship. But Paul was very calm. And you ask, why was he calm? He told them. First of all, he told them initially that there is trouble ahead. He spoke by the Spirit. They didn't listen to him. So when things were now going south, he told them, sirs, you should have listened to me and not have left Crete. He said, but, look at this. Go to the next verse. But now I exhort you, be of good cheer. How can there be storm? And you say, be of good cheer. So you don't know they should be happy. What kind of rubbish instruction is that? He said, be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the sheep. Why did he say that? For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And he told me, Amaran, he said, fear not, Paul. That when you know that he's there, that's why Jesus could sleep on the sea. It's that knowledge that he's there. I've seen things, but sleep is good. You know, sleep is good. Let nothing steal your sleep. Except you are working hard for something good. Let no problem steal your sleep. And listen to what I'm saying. I'm talking about being established in his peace. I gave an example. In Exodus 14. In Exodus 14, Moses, they were standing before Red Sea. And behind them, the Egyptians were pursuing them. And Moses spoke to the people in verse 13. Now look at where I'm going to read this. This will bless you tremendously. He said, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Now verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? So Moses was crying to the Lord. I want to show you something. So the time Moses was telling the people, don't be afraid, him too was afraid within. Him too was crying. So Moses wasn't encouraging them because he had heard anything from the Lord. Are you following me, friends? At the time, he still didn't know what to do. He still did not know that he would strike the sea and it would divide. He didn't have the answers, but he just said, stand still, don't be afraid. Listen, do not wait for things to begin to turn around before you believe God. Be peaceful, even when that thing is turning around. When you don't know how it will go, there is one way to never go. It will never go against you. That is the fact. So he didn't actually have all the answers. You know, it's a different thing if the Lord had told him, when you get to that Red Sea, strike the sea. It would have been very easy. We just let the Israelites, guys, don't worry. But at the time, God has not told him anything. There was nothing. So he was actually crying unto the Lord. That's why God told him, why are you crying to me? So I was saying this in the press service. Just like Moses faces the people and says, hello guys, be encouraged, stand still, nothing will go wrong. He will not turn around and say, God, I beg you. He's getting that picture. So it's not like he had all the answers. Hello guys, everything is going to be fine. Everything is going to be fine. Just calm down. How are you guys? Relax. The Lord will fight for us. We'll have our peace. And he said, Jesus, I beg. No, for my hand. You know, there was that uncertainty. Let people not be able to see your fears. Don't voice it. There is somebody you can tell. Tell God. Are you following me, friends? That's what we do. I do it as a leader sometimes. So, Father, when this is going wrong, I come and tell the leaders, don't worry, everything is going to be fine. When I finish, I'll just go back and say, Father, my Father. Well, that's what when we wanted to do so well. When the Lord put it in my heart, we're going to use that facility. Remember? The money we spent for that meeting last year, we've never spent 1/4 of it for any meeting. And we have to believe God for it. So when I announced, I told the guys, we are going to do it. We're going to that facility. We're going to do it debt free. And I'll just go back and say, God, you know all those things I was saying is in your name.
if you fail, we have failed.
There were fears. There could be. But when you know that God is always there, is it me that sent myself? Oh. We did that meeting last year and we had balance in millions.
Did you get what I said?
For instance, this Supernatural Hub project now will have change.
Maybe you don't understand balance.
We'll have change in millions. Why will that happen? And why are you so confident? Did the Lord tell you that? No. So how do you know it's going to happen?
The Bible says we should believe God.
And this will work. I know He's there. We can't get there and He will abandon us. How many of you know that God is with you now? In that mess. In that mess.
Let me even add something I didn't add in first service. Something else that keeps you, that will help you stay peaceful. You see here, find the plan of God. Be sure you are in the will of God. This is one of the greatest sources of peace. If you are sure that what you are doing now is God's will for you. Have you expressed what I'm talking about?
Even if it's not working, you can go tell God, see, you sent me. That's one of my biggest confidence in this ministry thing I'm doing. I know that God sent me. So no matter what is happening, I'm always very peaceful. He won't let His work scatter. It's not me, it's Him.
He knows that I didn't even want to do this thing, so we are even. We had an agreement. He knows I'm not interested, that He's just that I'm just yielding to His will. So all of us are good.
Find His will and stay with it. So once you want to start a business, take one more day. Take two more days. Pray and pray again. Confirm, okay, God, is this you? What says is you? The kind of peace it gives you, even when you get there, things are scattering.
I get what I'm talking about.
At least you know that God, you said I should go. You want to study this course. Pray and pray. And God said go. When you get there and they're teaching in class and your brain is jamming, you can say, Father, if you knew I couldn't pass this course, why did you tell me to study it?
Are you following me, friends?
That peace that comes from knowing that God sent me.
And the final thing I'm going to ask you to do, pray. You want to see peace in the storm? Pray. You want to enjoy peace in the storm? Pray. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Paul told them clearly. He said, in everything,
he said, be careful for nothing, everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What will happen? And the peace of God, which passes understanding, we keep your heart and mind. If you really want to understand the peace of God, pray.
You know, let me say this to you. One of the first blessings that comes from prayer is peace. Before any answer comes.
Have you ever been passing through tough time and you prayed? After praying, you left that place peaceful. Nothing has changed, but you are happy.
Does it happen to you?
One major blessing of praying over a matter is the peace of God.
The peace of God. You just stay calm. Say, don't worry. It's going to be fine. You don't even know how it's going to happen, but it's going to be fine.
When you pray, you are peaceful. That's why I want to say this to you. I said it to them in the office yesterday. I told them, concerning church and ministry, do not call a committee when you should call a prayer meeting. What that means is, if things are going wrong, your first point of call should not be, let us meet. Call a prayer meeting first. When things are going wrong in your life, before you begin to call everybody, pray. The first supply that comes when you pray, most times, is peace.
Have you ever experienced what I'm talking about?
That's the first thing that comes. But the problem, you see why you're not enjoying that peace yet? We don't even want to pray. It's that time they are passing through problems. They don't even want to pray. Say, prayer is what? I beg. We've been praying since. Pray first. Your heart will calm down. So that you can even be able to hear God better.
Are you following me?
Pray. That's how to begin to enjoy this establishment in His peace.
But whatever is happening, He just established in His peace. You're just calm. Settled. One, you know that God is not the author of this. Two, you know that He's always with you. He's actually here.
And three, if I pray, He will come through. So I'll just pray and sleep. Are you following me? You want to enjoy peace? Please pray. Please pray. Practice what I'm saying. When everything is going south, just pray. And many people pray until you are happy.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Pray. I'm not saying pray until everything changes. Just pray until you feel that rush of joy. Does it happen to you? You just feel, I'm okay now. You just get up. That's why we smile the way we smile. It's not because everything is fine. It's because there is the peace of God. Did you see what the Bible said about that peace? It passeth all understanding. You know what it means? It means that it cannot be explained to anybody. There is no logical reason why you should be smiling. There is no logical reason why you should be peaceful. But the peace of God. May you know that peace. Oh. May you know that peace. That's why there is, see this I'm teaching now. That's why there is a serious rise of depression in our society. Because we've lost touch of the peace of God. Every small thing you get depressed. Any small thing you get depressed. Why? What is even wrong with you? What's even wrong with you? You forgot that God is with you. So what's the point? Why are you getting depressed? And they start taking alcohol. You start smoking. Or you start doing things you couldn't have done before because you are depressed. You start avoiding everybody's call. What are you even passing through? What are you passing through? A lot. No, please. I'm not making light of whatever that is happening to you. I'm only saying no matter what it is, people have gone through that and they came out well. So why is your own? Let me tell you, I say this all the time to you guys in this church. I wish one day God just allow me to do that. If I ask people to share their problems with people, because I'm a pastor, the kind of problems I hear in the office, I hear some things when you talk about it when I'm just smiling at you. How many of you know the person sitting beside you, smiling with you, might be in a debt of over 100 million sitting inside this church? And you are crying that your gari poor. But gari poor is a serious thing. Crying that your gari poor. But sometimes when I get to the office, it takes the help of God to not leave the office with a burden on your shoulder. The kind of things people are going through. So you now see those, and problem is people who are going through some of those serious things, they are fine. They are peaceful. They are smiling. There's someone else, I'm not saying you are not going through a lot, but then, what's the depression about? May you know the peace of God. Next time your gari pours away, just pray. You're going to be fine. Look at the point. Getting depressed will not fix anything either. Or will it? It won't. If anything, it will worsen the case. Refusing to smile will not change anything. Saying you will not go to church again will not change anything. Are you following the point? Getting angry with God and fighting God will not change anything. Just know that He's there. You know, you can know this thing that almost, you can almost feel His presence. You can almost feel, there was a time in my room those days in school, I could almost feel that I'm staying with someone. And how do you know it's God, sir? Because there is no fear. Like I'm not, you know, when you know that feeling when you have an extra person, you'll be always afraid. But you know, I can almost feel that somebody in this room, and there is no fear. I'm not seeing anybody, but I can almost feel presence. I could almost probably tell you I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Hallelujah. So when he's ready, just pray and say, Father, help me. And when you pray like that, before anything begins to happen, he first gives you peace so that you can sleep and see road. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank God for his peace. Glory to God. Stand your feet.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.